Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Here.
Ranking Member Escamani. Representatives Alvarez.
Here, ma'am.
Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby.
Good morning.
Burfield.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Dugan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fernandez Barquin.
Oh.
Aww.
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 But he's in town, though. He is in town.
Hart.
Here. Present.
Holcomb.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Raina Goolsbee.
It's just Rainer. Present.
Roach.
Present.
Robinson.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy. Excuse. Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Buenos dias. Present.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members and those in the audience, please make sure you silence all your electronic devices. Members, I would like to, I thought that was a test by Rosa on who was on the committee. But anyway, congratulations to Rep. Barquin Fernandez on his appointment to his position. And then I would like to welcome two new members, Representative Alvarez and Representative Holcomb. Welcome to the committee, and we're glad to have you here. And then, Vince, would you introduce, we have a new staff member, and then just introduce all of you to the committee, so the new members know who you are.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rachel Rexford is an attorney that joined the committee just a few months ago. She's got a bachelor's degree in political science from Saginaw Valley State University in Michigan. She's got a law degree from the University of Florida. She spent 3 years working for the CFO as an attorney and as the CFO's deputy director of policy before joining the committee staff in July of this year. Kimberly Berg is the deputy staff director of the committee. She returns for her fifth session.
Very good. Thank you, Vince. Rachel, I'm not sure if you knew exactly what you were getting into when you were on the committee, but I'm sure you'll do a great job and look forward to working with you. All of us do. Members, now we'll move into item three, which will be a staff presentation. This will be done by Ms. Berg. She's going to give us an overview of the taxation of communication services. When I was on the Ways and Means Committee when I first got elected to the Florida House in 2016, we did a CST workshop then, and I know that last year one of the bills that passed, we froze communication services taxes. We put a freeze on how local government, if they could raise rates or not, we put a freeze on that, and then I really just kind of wanted to have a conversation to, I think a lot of us even that maybe come from local government don't even know about the communication services tax, so I just felt like it might be a timely issue to have a little bit of a conversation about. And so with that, Ms. Berg, you're up. And you can take as much time as you need. So.
Thank you, Chair McLean. Good morning, members. As the chair mentioned, this presentation is going to kind of go through the basics of communication services tax for you. What communication services are, how we tax them, what collections look like, that sort of thing. I want to preface this with a warning that communication services tax is really complicated. I'm going to do my best to walk you through this in a way that is understandable, but if at some point this feels confusing, it's not you, it's the tax, I promise. And I'm happy to answer questions at the end for anything you'd like me to circle back on. We're going to start with what are communication services? So communication services are voice, audio, data, video, or other information or signals that are transmitted, conveyed, or routed through any means. For example, the retail sale of cable television services is a communication service. It's important to note that this definition is intentionally designed to be broad and flexible. It was adopted more than 20 years ago and was meant to change with technology advancements, as indicated at the bottom, that includes part of the definition that includes services, including any other medium or method now in existence or hereafter devised, regardless of the protocol used for the transmission or conveyance. To give you some everyday examples of things that are taxable communication services, almost any phone service, including any paid mobile or landline phone and voice over internet protocol phones. any paid cable, satellite, or streaming TV service, like YouTube TV, for example, any paid video streaming service, like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime. At my house, it's Disney Plus and Friendly TV, so I get Hallmark Christmas movies. And as far as music goes, pretty much any paid streaming music service, things like Spotify, Apple Music, or Pandora. You'll note that I said paid for all of these, mostly just because if it's free, then there's nothing to impose communication services tax on. Communication services are not internet access, tangible personal property, information services, any kind of late payment or billing charges, and any installation or maintenance fees. You may know this, but internet access is specifically precluded from any kind of taxation due to the Federal Internet Tax Freedom Act. Sales of tangible personal property are not considered communication services and are instead taxed under regular sales tax provisions. Information services includes a lot of things here, things like online banking access, GPS services, cloud services, as well as downloaded content like ebooks or music. There are also a few limited exceptions and exemptions from the CST, things like sales to charitable organizations, that sort of thing. Here are some examples of things that taxable communication services don't include that you might be wondering about. The portion of your cell phone plan that is internet access is generally not subject to CST. It depends a little bit, though, on how the dealer chooses to set that up. If they can show in their books and records what portion of your cell phone plan is data and what portion of it is communication services, then only the communication services are taxable. If they can't show, if the services are bundled and can't be separated out, then it is all taxable. Prepaid calling arrangements, frequently now referred to as prepaid wireless plans, generally are subject to sales tax rather than to CST. Any free over-the-air broadcast television channels are not communication services. The purchase of digital goods, like if you purchase a digital copy of a movie, that's not going to be subject to CST. Any streaming of free videos or free music, things that are ad-supported or are just not charged at all, again, nothing to charge tax on. So now that we've kind of walked through what is or isn't a communication service, we get to talk about the more confusing part, how we tax them. Believe it or not, this is a simpler taxing structure than was in place prior to 2001. Before 2001, there were a number of various taxes and fees at state and local levels related to communication services. They had varying rates, various applications in terms of what services they applied to, and they had very different administrative procedures in different jurisdictions because the local rates were applied and administered at the local level. The new structure in 2001 helped simplify taxation by moving all of the administration to the state level. It's administered through the Department of Revenue, and it created a more consistent tax base in terms of what is or is not taxable. The current taxes right now, there's a state communication services tax, a state gross receipts tax, a local communication services tax that has multiple parts, just wait for it. And then there's also a local sales tax piece that gets added on to the local rate. I want to mention as a quick reminder, as with sales taxes, these are passed on to the consumer. They are merely collected and remitted by the dealer. They're not imposed on the dealer. And for any one transaction, more than one of these taxes frequently applies. I'm going to start with state communication services tax. This is in Chapter 202. Generally speaking, the state rate is 4.92%. The exception is for direct-to-home satellite services. Those are taxed at 9.07%. That's because under federal law, satellite services cannot be subject to local taxes. And so in order to make sure that our local governments were essentially held harmless, the satellite rate includes a higher state rate that then is distributed to the locals. The 4.92% is not applied to residential landline services, but if in a house that doesn't have a landline service, please note that mobile cell phones, even if they're the only phone, are still subject to the tax. The revenue from the 4.92% rate is distributed the same way that sales tax is. Most of it goes to general revenue, and then a portion of it goes to revenue sharing with local governments. The direct-to-home satellite rate, again, part of it goes through that same distribution process as regular CST and sales tax, but a portion of it is set aside specifically for local governments, and a portion within that is actually set aside specifically for fiscally constrained counties. Moving on to the state gross receipts tax. So the state gross receipts tax is in Chapter 203. Generally, all communication services that are subject to the state CST rate are also subject to the gross receipts tax. The gross receipts tax essentially has two pieces, and they are not applied to all services the same way. The main gross receipts tax is 2.37%, and it applies to all communication services. There's also an additional 0.15% tax that applies to communication services other than residential landlines and satellite services. In case you're wondering about that, that was actually an effort to try to move some money into PICO in 2010. Collections were going down at the time, and there was additional money needed for education construction funding. And so the state rate for CST was reduced by that 0.15%, and the gross receipts tax was increased by that 0.15% to help shift money from general revenue over to PICO. That's what that piece is. Prepaid calling arrangements, as discussed, are exempt from both the state CST and the gross receipts tax. They are instead subject to sales tax, like other tangible personal property. And again, all of gross receipts is going to be distributed to PICO, the Public Education Capital Outlay Trust Fund, to be used for construction and debt service related to construction for educational facilities. Now that you've got a handle on those state taxes, we're going to look at the local taxes that apply to communication services. I feel like this is everybody's favorite piece of CST trivia. There are currently 481 local governments levying a CST tax. Those are cities and counties. And there are currently 100 different rates among those 481 jurisdictions. The rates range from 0.3% to 7.7%. Local rates are composed of multiple pieces. The first main portion is the local CST rate that gets levied by the local government, usually by ordinance, that can be adjusted in certain circumstances, but is generally subject to a statutory maximum that I'm going to talk about in a minute. There's also a permit fee add-on in certain circumstances and a local option sales surtax surcharge in certain circumstances. I want to pause here just for a minute because you may be wondering how these dealers figure out which of these many, many rates applies to any particular account. So that's a matter of situsing, in other words, locating the sale to a particular location. Dealers typically use the service address as the situs, which basically means the address of primary use for whoever the account may be. A county's local CST rate is charged for any areas within the county that are not part of another jurisdiction. A municipality's local CST is charged within that incorporated area. Dealers have a couple of options for how they keep track of where all of those people live. They can either have their own situsing method that they have to present to DOR and have DOR sign off on, or they can use the department system. It's a jurisdiction database that lives online and gets updated every 6 months, where the local governments can send in any address changes that may have happened during that period. But either way, the dealers are required to use a formalized method of assigning those addresses to make sure that the correct jurisdiction is being assigned to each account. So now we're going to talk about the local CST piece, that first of the three local rate pieces. Statute sets out the maximum rate that can currently be levied by ordinance. Generally speaking, municipalities and charter counties have a higher maximum rate of 5.1%. And non-charter counties have a rate of 1.6%. That said, you're probably going to notice if you look at that list of 481 jurisdictions, there are a lot of jurisdictions that are higher than that. Generally speaking, that's because during the transition period from before this system, before 2001, to this system, there was an effort made to make sure that these local governments were essentially held harmless, that their revenue collections weren't impacted negatively by this system. And so the legislature at the time used the revenue estimating conference to come up with what they call conversion rates, which basically says for each of the jurisdictions in 2001, they went through and said, okay, well, using this new tax base for what's going to be considered a communication service, in order for you to keep collecting what you were collecting, your rate is going to be X. So if you go through Chapter 202, there are long, 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 long lists of what the conversion rate is for each individual jurisdiction. After those initial rates were adopted, there was also a brief period where they could be amended by emergency rates. So if the REC did a great job, but it wasn't quite right and they had a bit of a revenue shortfall, they could levy an emergency rate to make up that shortfall, again, in an effort to keep them hold harmless as they move into a revenue neutral system here. At this point, conversion rates are what they are. Emergency rates only apply at this point in the event that there was a citusing issue and there are certain revenues that have to get shifted from the county to the city or the city to the county, for example. If there's a big enough shift, then for 1 year, the county or city can come back and levy an emergency rate to make up shortfall from amounts that had to be shifted to another jurisdiction. At this point, there are no currently levied emergency rates for that citusing stuff in effect. Making sure I hit everything on that one. Yes. There are also two additional parts, as I mentioned, to the local rate. There's the permit fee add-on rate. So this one is kind of a bit of a dinosaur at this point. Before this transition in 2001, there was an option for counties and cities to levy a permit fee that was essentially used to help offset costs for the use of municipal or county roads or right-of-ways. There were restrictions on how reasonable they had to be. They had to connect to that actual usage and that sort of thing. In 2019, the legislature actually decided that they didn't really want that to continue to be an option because it was kind of not being used all that much. So at this point, there's actually one charter county, one non-charter county, and one municipality that do still have permit fees in effect. No additional jurisdictions can choose to levy a permit fee at this point. That class has been frozen. Those three jurisdictions, if they would like to, are welcome to opt back out at any point. To the extent that they levy a permit fee, it does affect what their maximum statutory rate, their main rate, can be for the charter county and municipality. It gets reduced by the amount of the permit fee. Then pretty much any county that levies one or more of the 9 discretionary sales surtaxes over in the sales tax world also has an add-on to their local CST rate for that sales tax rate. It's not 1-for-1. If you have a 1% sales tax, it doesn't mean you have a 1% add-on for CST, because again, the goal here was to be revenue neutral. And the amount of things that were subject to this tax, the sales tax on communication services pre-2001 and what are taxable now, are different. So again, there's a lengthy list in the statute for each county of what their crosswalk sales tax surcharge add-on rate is, depending on what sales surcharge they levy in their home county. Each of those pieces works together to get to the total local rate. And again, the current total local rates range from 0.3% up to 7.7%. Local communication service taxes, again, as we mentioned, are not applicable to direct-to-home satellite services. That's why they have the higher state rate. The revenue raised from these local rates goes back to that levying jurisdiction. Generally speaking, CST revenues for the local jurisdictions are general funds that can be used for anything, including indebtedness payments. The exception to that is the local sales tax surcharge piece. That piece of it actually has to be used by the local jurisdiction for whatever the original sales tax surcharge is for. So for example, if that's an infrastructure surcharge on the sales tax side, the piece of the CST that comes to that also goes to that infrastructure surcharge project fund. As our chair mentioned, just FYI, one thing to note on these local rates is in last year's tax package, the rate in effect January 1, 2023 for local governments was capped at that rate for 3 years. Local governments can reduce that rate, but those rates cannot go up again until January 1, 2026. This chart here is an effort to summarize all of those many pieces I just talked about. I didn't break it out quite as much as I could have on the local piece. You're welcome. The local rate you see on here is the statewide effective rate that the REC uses for calculating purposes. This is from the August 2023 conference. I mentioned earlier that the direct-to-home satellite rate and the state rate are ideally a little similar. The goal here is to try to keep those as close as possible. As you can see, the current difference between them is just 1.23% using that statewide local rate. All right, so this chart is kind of giving you a feel for what the collections have looked like for CST over the last 20 years, along with the forecast for the next few years. The height of CST collections is actually during the Great Recession, oddly enough, and that it has kind of fallen off over the following decade. Collections have started to tick back up, and minor increases are expected over the next few years, but not significant increases. a lot of the decrease is attributable to lots of things. But some of it we think is the loss of traditional phone and cable services that people have shifted to prepaid mobile plans or have shifted to one or two streaming services instead of a more traditional cable or satellite model. Some of those things are less expensive and therefore there is less revenue coming in on the CST portion for those plans. To give you a feel for the collections here, the fiscal year 2024-25 estimate for state CST is $662 million, local CST is $766 million, and gross receipts is $371 million, for a total amount of collections on communication services in general of about $1.8 billion. Briefly, I want to touch on some of the things that we think impact CST collections. As you might expect, new technology can increase usage of communication services as people are excited about things or more things come to market, as can shifting services or falling prices or having things sold by different companies. Vince's favorite example is the NFL Sunday Ticket apparently moved from a satellite thing to a streaming thing, and we think that may have even had an impact. In addition, increasingly data technology shifts from landlines to mobile phones. And as I mentioned before, mobile phones can be taxed a little lower in that the data plan is typically exempted, and if it's prepaid, then it's not subject to CST at all. In addition, the way government entities treat CST has an impact. As local rates go up, people are a little more hesitant to try to add on yet another streaming service or another phone for their seven-year-old. As the federal or state government changes how they tax or exempt services, that also affects how we do things. As mentioned earlier, the federal exemption for internet services keeps us from taxing internet services. In general, it's important to remember that communication services is really complicated, multi-level, multi-layered, rapidly evolving field, and how we tax them continues to be a fun thing for you all to be thinking about. Mr. Chair, I know that was a lot of information. I would be happy to try to answer questions. Please be kind.
Ms. Berg, thank you for the very concise yet informative presentation, and we do appreciate it. Members, are there questions? Representative Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you for the presentation. No, I didn't know anything about how these taxes were collected. How does services like Google or Apple, how do they impact the CST tax, or does it even impact at all?
Mr. Chair?
You're recommending.
Okay. I'm gonna try to answer that. So things like Apple Music streaming services that you pay for are going to be subject to CST. Things like, for example, cloud services that Google might provide, generally not taxable. Those are considered information services. So it kind of depends on which thing you're talking about within those larger companies. Because it depends on what it is. If you're buying a movie from Google Play, not taxable. If you're renting a movie from Google Play, taxable.
Representative Roach, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair McClain, and thank you. This has been certainly educational, and let me preface my question by saying that this may be outside the scope of your presentation. Maybe it more appropriate for someone representing counties or cities, but you know, my concern is with how this revenue is being used by local governments. I know in the presentation you gave, it looks like the allowable use says any public purpose generally. Can you talk about how local governments are using this money and what kind of sort of guardrails we have in place to make sure they're using it for CST-related purposes?
You're recognized.
Okay, I'm gonna do what I can here. You're right, local governments may be a little more able to tell you exactly how they are using it. I do wanna preface this by saying there is no rule that this should be used for CST purposes. This is general revenue. Again, as we mentioned before, this is a transition from what used to be a sales tax, and revenues from sales tax generally are usable for almost any purpose. This was a shift in 2001, but I think some of the logic at the time probably was that the money that was for general purposes should continue to be for general purposes, even if it was being levied a little differently. So the piece of the local rate that is discretionary sales surtax is restricted to the underlying discretionary sales surtax usage, but the rest of it is general revenue that goes into their budget and they can use as they deem appropriate.
Thank Representative Buchanan, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. Ms. Berg, phenomenal presentation. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you, you had talked about at the local level, what is the highest currently? Is it 7.7% that's being levied?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So the highest levied by ordinance is actually 7% right now in Sanford, I believe it is. The highest total local rate is 7.7%. That is unincorporated Alachua County.
Mr. Chairman?
You're recognized.
Just as a follow-up, and maybe this is a question we're all wondering, why is that so high?
You're recognized for a try.
Are you asking why it's so much higher
than local,
the statutory maximum? Or?
Why the local government taxes are so high on it?
So,
you're right.
Again, some of this is just the revenue neutral effort for what they were collecting on the similar base when it was a sales tax got transitioned over when this became the CST tax. So some of these rates that seem particularly high are jurisdictions that were collecting more in sales tax during this transition period. As to whether you feel like it's too high, that really feels more like a policy question than something I could answer.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, just one follow-up.
Yeah, you're recognized.
And then, Ms. Berg, at the national level, I think you touched on it, but is there anything that at the federal level that they're looking at in terms of limiting local government taxation on this revenue stream?
You're recognized.
You know, Vice Chair, that's an excellent question. That's not something I'm super familiar with, but I'd be happy to try to look into that and circle back with you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, if I want you to know, I really appreciate when you do things like this. Like, and if you think that they don't impact us, it does. It says, and maybe you won't like that in a second when I have like a trillion questions based on your presentation. But it's good for
you're recognized
like
for
us.
A trillion questions.
Thank you. Here we go, a trillion. I always get nervous when those of us that help make policy and those of us that help lead policy or think a tax is confusing and dangerous, because the minute you say that makes me go, if it's so confusing and dangerous, then what about the people that we're trying to tax? Isn't that, it makes me nervous. So in this tax, I thought, right, when the presentation came up on the agenda, I was like, oh, communication services, this is taxes that we collect for the benefit of improving our communication services. But according to you, it's not. This just goes into everyone's general revenue.
You're recognized.
I want to start by saying I never called it dangerous.
No. I said it. My word, not hers, for the record, Florida Channel.
Second, though, you're correct. Generally speaking, this money, most of it is distributed the same way that sales tax revenue is distributed, primarily to general revenue, some of it to revenue sharing with local governments.
Okay.
You recognize her.
I almost said Your Honor, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. So is it a sales tax and the communication services tax, or is it or?
You recognize.
So it used to be a sales tax.
Okay.
There is one small piece at the state level, which is prepaid calling arrangements, are still subject to state sales tax instead of this system. Communication services in general are not subject to our state sales tax. At the local level, there is a piece of the local rate that is added on if that local jurisdiction has a discretionary sales surtax levied in that jurisdiction, a local option surtax.
Do you mind?
Thank you, sir. Follow up.
So is this, in history, are our local governments using this as a recurring source of income? I mean, is it like bondable? Is it something they rely on? Or is it just something they're like, oh, extra, it just comes that way?
You're recognized.
It is explicitly bondable, yes.
It is bondable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One more, sir.
One more.
So you already may have addressed it when Representative Buchanan addressed, but so I wrote down 5.1, if I just want to make sure, is the top, but we have 7.7. Could you just remind me how we get from 5.1 to 7.7?
You're recognized.
You're going to love it.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, great.
So again, the 5.1 is the statutory cap for any new levies coming into play. Okay. But as part of that transition process, when this system first was adopted more than 20 years ago now, the goal was for this to be revenue neutral for those local governments. And so in the statute, they have what they call conversion rates, which for each local government that was levying a tax at the time, it provides what their maximum rate is, which may be in excess of that 5.1%, in order to make sure that they could continue to collect the same amount of revenue as they were collecting under the prior system. And so you're talking about a local jurisdiction. I do not have the breakdown in front of me. I believe Alachua is a 6.9% levied rate, plus that surcharge add-on for their local sales surtaxes to get to the 7.7, but I'm not certain about that. So don't quote me on that piece. But in essence, it is a conversion rate that was meant to keep them revenue neutral 20 years ago, plus whatever their local sales surtax piece is.
Awesome. One more.
You reckon it.
And this is just a follow-up. So there's a permit fee add-on that's already kind of capped, that added, right? So it seems to me that there was some planning when it came to the idea of permitting for communications services related permitting. Are we saying that if they didn't add on, they can charge these companies a permitting fee for, let's say, towers or cabling or anything like that afterwards?
You reckon it?
I'm not sure I'm following your question. Could you ask it slightly differently?
Yes, ma'am. I can. So if we collect this money and I am a communications provider, do I still have to pay permitting fees and planning fees like that, or does this money go for that?
You reckon it?
I believe, generally speaking, those are separate things. I don't believe that the permitting fee we're talking about here, the add-on fee, is, I believe that to be separate from planning fees, for example.
Okay. All right. No further questions.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you, Kim, for the awesome presentation as well. So I want to dive into a few things. So in 2012, the legislature actually convened a bipartisan multi-stakeholder work group to re-examine the CST. I'm not sure if you can speak to this. If not, I'm happy to. But could you speak to what were the results of that bipartisan work group? My understanding is that telecommunication companies, alongside local governments, were part of that conversation. Solutions were proposed, but the legislature never pursued them. So could you walk us through why, what were those proposals and why we never pursued them?
You reckon it?
I can't. I'm sorry. I have bits and pieces of it, and I believe that a big part of why things were not pursued was the fiscal impact of doing some of the things that were recommended. But I don't have details on that at my fingertips right now.
Okay, Chair, may I follow up? Thank you. Well, and just for the good of the committee, since there is so much interest in this, I think the main dynamic was to actually repeal and replace the CST. So the recommendation was to repeal it because it is really confusing and, you know, all the reasons people expressed. But it is a source of revenue for both the state and local governments. And so it was to replace it with a small increase of sales tax. But this legislature never wanted to increase sales tax. So here we are stuck with the CST the way that it is. With that said, I have a question about transparency. You mentioned the bundling dynamic. You know, I'm curious, does DOR have the ability to understand what is taxed and not taxable, and whether it's the bundling perk that different companies offer or just in other areas of CST, does DOR have what they need to accurately tax people and corporations?
You're recognized.
That'd be a great question for DOR. I would say yes. I know when I have asked questions in the past, it certainly appears that they have the expertise necessary to look at this stuff. These are audited. They do identify when there are issues and make changes as needed. So I believe them to have the expertise necessary. But if you have specific questions, I'm sure Dr. Zangali would be happy to chat with you.
Awesome. And then one quick follow-up, Chair, if I may.
You're recognized.
Thank you. And I definitely will do that. Transparency for the consumer. Is there any information or data that, like, consumers know what tax they're paying? Because I know, for example, when you buy a sales tax, you know, receipt, it tells you how much tax you paid on those products. I know when I look at my phone bill, it's very convoluted. And so I'm curious, you know, do you think that there could be improvements on just transparency so that consumers know what are they paying local government, what are they paying to state taxes, and so forth?
You recognize.
So, great question. What I would say is I think to some extent there are issues in terms of just how many lines you can put on a bill from a practical standpoint. I think the dealers would tell you there are already both federal fees and state and local taxes that they are trying to provide transparency on, but there are so many pieces. I can tell you that if you are interested in what your local CST rate is, again, as I mentioned earlier, DOR does maintain the address jurisdiction database on their website, and you can type in your address, and it will tell you exactly what your local CST rate is. But in terms of putting it on bills or make it a little more transparent at the point of sale for the consumers, I think to some extent it's a lot of pieces, and the more you put on there, the more confusing it can be for some people. There is a provision in statute that allows them, by the way, to kind of bundle the gross receipts tax piece and the state CST tax piece to try to make it a little smoother on bills, which again may also cause some confusion depending on what part of the statute they're looking at.
Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the illuminating, confusing briefing. I appreciate that. Just a quick question: if I read this properly, as it relates to the maximum rates for municipalities, and then I'm curious about the difference between a chartered county and a non-chartered county, and is it municipal 5.1? Chartered 5.1, then the unchartered 1.6, or what if you're, I guess a confusion on my part, what if you're a municipality in an uncharted county? How's that rate work? So could you just clarify? Thank you.
You're recognized.
I'm going to do my best. So the municipalities, regardless of what kind of county they're in, get that 5.1%. The charter counties get the 5.1%. And my understanding of the difference between those, and because I think that's what you're asking, is why some of them have 5.1 and some of them have 1.6, is because of what taxes they're replacing from the prior system. So under the pre-2001 system, the non-charter counties were essentially just collecting franchise fees on cable services. The municipalities and the charter counties were actually collecting 3 or 4 different taxes at much higher rates on different things related to communication services. And so again, in an effort to keep this revenue neutral, they were trying to come up with a way to keep them collecting roughly the same amount as what they were replacing with this system. And so those higher rates, the 5.1%, reflect that they also had there was a municipal public service tax that was levied in these jurisdictions, as well as a couple of other things.
Representative Burfield, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. If I heard you correctly, when you were talking about state gross receipt tax, you said the revenue distribution was tied to the PICO trust fund. And you said part of the rationale as to why it had been redirected there was because we were experiencing a decrease in the funds that were in the actual trust fund. So my question is, did I understand that correctly, number one? And number two, if that is accurate, have we gone back and looked at that trust fund? Is that trust fund now stabilized? And could this tax then be either redirected or eliminated? Because we've fulfilled that.
You're recognized.
All right, so mostly yes. The piece I was talking about was that additional 0.15%. The 2.37% gross receipts tax has been constant. The additional 0.15% was added in 2010 because at the time there was concern that there was additional funding in PICO needed for certain projects. I do not know whether the legislature has circled back to determine if that additional funding is still currently necessary. I would not be surprised if it is, because I know funding for education continues to be a priority for the state. But I don't know that the legislature has specifically circled back to see if that 0.15% gross receipts could be switched back to CST or not.
Follow up.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask maybe if that's something that the committee shouldn't consider looking at, is those different types of moment in time when we as a legislature made decisions because of a certain need, and shouldn't go back and look at those and see if that need has either changed or we could eliminate those additional taxes to help our citizens.
You good? Whip LaMarca.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excellent presentation. I have a question as someone who was in city and county government prior to coming here. the presentation shows 481 local governments. My count is 411 cities and 67 counties. Are these special districts the other, because there's about three additional ones, I'm not sure.
You recognize?
So these are municipalities and counties.
Say again?
Sorry. Municipalities and counties.
Okay. I'm still getting 478, so I just wanted some clarity on that. But second question, separate. You had talked about, you went through the local option versus general. And I guess I have a question. As one of the things that we've back in 2019, we passed, well, the House bill was 797, but the underground utilities issue. Is there anything prohibiting local governments from utilizing some of these? Now, granted, so they treat some of it as general revenue and some as local options. Is there anything preventing local governments from assisting in the communication, undergrounding of communication lines and working with some of their own dollars to help do that?
You recognize?
I am not aware of anything that would prohibit that.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Valdez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you so much for this presentation. I need help understanding the rates that you share on the tax rate summary versus the 7.7 maximum.
Absolutely. This one?
Yes.
Sure. So what we were trying to do, sorry, Mr. Chair.
You're.
Thank you. So what I was trying to do here is give you kind of a feel for the average statewide impact. 7.7% is a single jurisdiction at that rate. Again, remember, there are jurisdictions as low as 0.3%. And so the local rate here, that 5.23%, is essentially the statewide effective rate, factoring in all of those local jurisdictions and what the collections are from them. This is what the statewide local rate looks like. Does that make sense? Kind of.
Kind of. I'm just trying to figure out if the state's higher in percentage. I'm trying to make the connection between the 11.44 to the 7.7 max. That might be a conversation for offline, maybe.
You recognize?
Okay. So you're trying to compare the direct-to-home satellite with the total state for regular communication. Okay. So what we're really comparing there is the 11.44 and the 12.67, how those two compare. And the 5.23 that's on here, it changes from year to year depending on what the local rates currently imposed are, what the collections are. That is the current local rate. The 9.07 was set in essence to try to match it reasonably closely to what the general state rate plus local average rate was at the time. So it's not ever going to be exactly the same. We can't tie them together quite that closely. But again, the point is that they're about 1.25% apart right now. But that does change depending on your jurisdiction, because again, if you're in a county that has much higher local rates or much lower local rates, then the disparity between that and a satellite rate will be more noticeable.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Chair, my question's already been answered. One of the advantages of waiting to ask a question, but following on what Representative Burfield said, I too am interested in the PICO dollars and are we holding ground or are we losing ground? Because public education capital outlay is very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Ranking Member Escamani, back to you for another question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. So I'm just listening to my colleagues' questions about this notion how, you know, taxation from CST, you know, folks are basically asking, does it go towards like a building department is what I'm hearing. But can you clarify for us, when someone pays for a permit with a local government, that goes to pay for the process of permitting in the building department, but this is a use tax, so it's treated almost like sales tax, because it's money consumers are spending, so it goes back to general revenue so consumers can benefit from it in some government service, for example. Can you clarify that this really is a use tax, and that's why it's treated like sales tax?
You're recognized.
I think of it as a sales tax, honestly. I mean, there is a use tax component to the extent that, for example, you are purchasing a streaming service that is not collecting these taxes. You are responsible for remitting those under a use tax type system. But yes, these are taxes on the consumption of these things, and the money from that is similar to a sales tax, general revenue for those local governments, as opposed to more traditional permitting fees, which are, as you mentioned, typically used to offset the costs of that process.
Thank you. And the chair, one quick follow-up.
You're recognized.
Thank you. Just looking at the Florida tax collections and forecasts, you know, I can't help but notice the dip, right, that starts in like 2010, 2011, which I do think part of that is due to the legislation that passed about a decade ago with the bundling and, you know, creating this dynamic where some companies are able to disguise, if you will, what's taxable. But then, of course, to your point, I think disruptors in technology also impact CST revenue. My question is, when you get to 2016, 2017, it seems like both local and state CST revenue kind of reflects each other. It's kind of almost the same. So if I'm correct, you know, the state of Florida is collecting the same amount that all 481 of these local taxes is collecting. So we're kind of the same amount of money, one for the state, and then the other line is representing every local government that levies this tax. Is that accurate?
You recognize?
They are certainly a lot closer than they have been at prior points. Right now, I think they're about $100 million apart, depending on what point you're looking at. But yes, they have gotten closer over time. I will mention, you had mentioned that with the unbundling situation that maybe companies were disguising things. I just want to clarify, the Department of Revenue does look at that. They are looking at books and records. There is not really a lot of evidence necessarily that anything is being disguised. It's more that they are trying to accurately reflect what services are being sold. Just wanted to mention that.
Members, questions? Any more questions? Seeing none, that will, again, Ms. Berg, thank you for the concise presentation and certainly for answering all of our questions. Members, there were questions that were asked that I think we didn't have all the information maybe that you wanted, so if you will allow me, I will, staff will review our meeting today and go back through the questions that maybe you had, we weren't maybe prepared for or didn't quite have the information that you asked for. We'll go back through that, and then we'll make sure we disseminate that information to you. As it relates to PICO, it has been fairly stable. The number has been fairly stable for several years. The projection is for it to stay stable where it is. Doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be looked at, possibly. I'm just from a perspective, it has been fairly stable over the last several years, and the projection is for it to stay stable for the next several years. Are you going to ask me? Are you want to ask a question? Yeah. Well, let's be on the record. How about that? So, yeah.
Thank you. My question is the amount of revenue lost by people canceling their landlines is supposedly being replaced by the 0.15%.
Right.
Did it hit its target? Kind of.
I think that's part of the question. We don't know. All I'm saying is, as a gross number, the numbers kind of stayed relatively stable as it relates to the 0.15 or whatever. That's another piece, and certainly we'll take a look at that and try to see if we can get that answer for you. One of the things, just as from my perspective, you know, there were some questions asked about how the revenue is being spent by the municipalities or counties. We'll try to see if maybe we can frame a question to the association and to the League of Cities and just give us a general overall? Because some may be subsidizing permitting or some may, you know, in other words, at least maybe let them drill down a little bit. We'll try not to make it too complicated, but we'll try to get that. And then, like I say, if you'll allow me, I will work with staff and we'll try to get some answers to some of these other questions that you asked. Currently, members, we have two more committee weeks after this. We haven't made a determination yet if we're going to have a Ways and Means Committee. Obviously, most of you that were on here last year know that a lot of our work gets done towards the end of session, so we'll let you know as soon as we know that we're going to be meeting again. If there's nothing else to come before, yes. Representative Valdez for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Being that we had a conversation today with many questions in reference to this tax, would it be would you consider maybe bringing a panelist of different entities? I mean, she did a great job. And we may have questions that might be more industry specific. Do you think that maybe between these committee weeks in which we may not necessarily have any topic, that maybe we can workshop this a little bit more? Because I believe that we may be addressing this towards the end of session. Just a thought, if the members thought that that might be helpful to us. Just a suggestion, sir.
Thank you for the suggestion. I will take that under advisement. Representative Crusoe for a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I just wanted to let, over the last couple of years, we've addressed commercial sales tax on commercial real estate rentals. Effective December 1st, that rate drops from 5.5% to 4.5%. So let your constituents know the good news.
Thank you, Representative Crusoe. That is good news. That is good news. Members, Representative Alvarez moves we rise. Without objection, show the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Welcome.